the fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. Have you got game? Got game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet590.ca.
This is Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, a show by gamers for gamers. We're back from Los Angeles with a little more E3 talk, including an in-depth look at NHL 13. Peter Molyneux is up to his crazy schemes again and wants to know, how much would you pay to see what's inside the box? And for one night only, the band is back together. It's the reunion show right here on Got Game.
Have you got game? Lowdown.
This is Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, back from LA in the comfy confines of our Got Game studios in lovely hometown, downtown Toronto. Brian Calhoun, Christine Chubb, Momin Qureshi here. Feels good to be home.
Feels good to finally get some sleep.
Yes. Yeah. I actually haven't gotten too much of that because we flew in home, me, Christine and I did, Saturday morning, and I was working Saturday night at 680 News, and I've worked every day since then, and today, actually, the day we're taping our show is technically my day off, but as you can hear, I am in the studio, so I'm not really relaxing, per se, but okay. I have the weekend off, so it's okay, it's all right, but yes, we are back. We had a great time in Los Angeles, covering all the glory that was E3. If you want to know what we did, it's simple enough to find out. All you have to do is go to sportsnet590.ca, hunt down the Got Game blog, and there you will find numerous podcasts, videos, pictures, write-ups, interviews, and pretty much all that we did in E3 for those four glorious days.
And we said this a few times, but it's not bad to remind people. Mm-hmm. Stuff has been moved on our website.
A little bit, yeah.
You know, they've updated the website. It actually looks really cool now. And one of the changes was that they took all our stuff, blogs, podcasts, everything,
and Twitter consolidated. Handles, all that, yeah.
All down to one location, and that location is pretty easy to find. You just go to, there's a little tab that drops down, or a little sort of list that drops down on the website. It's called Shows, and you put your cursor over it, you know, the whole menu will come down, and at the, somewhere near the bottom, it says All Shows. You click on that, you get a list of every show on the station, and all you gotta do at that point is just find where Got Game is, and you have, like Momin said, Twitter handles, link to our blog.
Podcasts.
Yeah, all the shows that we did, at least the last five shows, because we really only hold the last five shows up on the website. All that stuff is in one location, so it's pretty easy to find.
But if you are looking for an older show, all our show blogs are up there, and most
every show
we have is on the show blog. So a bunch of good E3 stuff there. You can always follow us on Twitter at GotGame590, or check out iTunes if you're looking for particular episodes that you want to take on the go with you. One of the things that we talked about the most at E3, and which kind of blew our mind, is a game that I know the majority of our fan, the listeners, love, and that is the NHL franchise, and we are talking specifically about NHL 13. Brian, you and I got to try it out.
Yeah, and I have to say that, you know, you go to E3 and you see all these sorts of big games, and NHL is always cool, but, you know, you never really consider it to be one of your top five games. This year, I think, is one of the top five games easily. I mean, they have done some impressive stuff with, you know, mechanics of how the skaters move and all that sort of stuff. I'm not going to steal Sean Ramczyk's things.
Thunder.
Glory and his thunder, so I'm not going to go into too much, but it is impressive how impressive that game was.
Yeah, absolutely, and we played it out for about a good 15 minutes, and we had our eyes open wide. But to give you a more in-depth look, which I know a lot of our listeners have been asking for, we hooked up with Sean Ramczyk Singh, the line producer for NHL 13, and asked him, but the first thing I basically said to him is, this is not your regular NHL 13.
This is not the old NHL. We're extremely, extremely excited about this year. This is going to be the biggest year of a yearly for this franchise on this generation of console, basically since the skill stick in NHL 07, so we're extremely excited. You know, we focus on two things this year: innovating the core gameplay experience with the true performance skating, and also our EA Sports Hockey IQ, which is, you know, an overhaul of our AI system, and then creating connected experiences. We have a GM connected mode, which is a multi-user online dynasty where up to 30 GMs can have up to 750 people as part of the same league. And the innovative part here is it's an OTP. There's an OTP element for it. So even if you're on a joystick jockey, you can have your buddies play the games for you. And we also have a mode called NHL Moments Live, which we're going to talk about later on as well. But focus here at E3 has been gameplay and our true performance skating, EA Sports Hockey IQ.
All right, so let's talk about the skating, because that's the most noticeable difference for me. Brian and I just tried out the game. A whole new engine on the skating. Walk us through, because it's pretty impressive to see.
Yeah, you know, when we started, the NHL franchise has a great history of innovation. in 07, we focused on giving the user the tools to be creative and create, you know, incredible moves, as opposed to old school game design. We said we want this specific move in the game, put it on a button, make it happen every time. So that was a big innovation then. Then we went to the Esports Hockey League, and where every single player on the ice was user controlled from their living room. And then we were the first team sports game to real time physics. So this year, you know, the game's done very well in the past few years, but for us to take the next big leap, we had to do something with our skating. So our focus was unleashing a whole new level of creativity with the lower body, combining that with the skill stick to really capture, you know, the speed, the top-end speed, the explosiveness, and the momentum and the creativity of today's NHL, just so we can better replicate what you're seeing on the ice day in and day out.
So, I mean, let's go to maybe specifics. In the demo that we were playing, there was the guy that was demoing in front of us made us stand at a stop still, yeah, go straight up the ice, and you see the guy break into power strides and eventually work his way up to top speed, and you can't cut in front of the net the way you used to because of the realness. I mean, it's really something to see.
Yeah, as you guys know from playing NHL and past versions of NHL, speed and acceleration didn't matter. Everyone skated the same speed. You're skating up the ice, and the defenseman can skate just as fast as you. So our focus was making sure we captured the explosiveness so that when you push up on the left stick, you get, you know, quick acceleration if you have a guy who's explosive. And also capturing the top end speed in two ways. If you have open ice, just pushing up on the left stick will get you to top end speed and see the guy go into a one-hand skate animation. But also, if you say, I want to get to that top end speed right away, you can click in L3 and get there. But the key is, it's not just a turbo button. You know, there's gameplay that goes with this. You know, anybody going to top end speed or running as fast as you cannot turn on a dime. The true performance skating system is driven by real-time physics. So when you're going top end speed, you can't turn. It's harder to turn, harder to cut in, because you're working against the laws of physics. So that's, you know, the key thing for us. Defensively, you see a guy going to top end speed, you know that his shot accuracy, his passing accuracy is going to be diminished. You know that if he gets by you, trying to on the going wide, for him to have a good scoring chance, he's got to get to the front of the net. So you just go to the post, because you know his the amount that he can cut in is predictable because of the physics driving the whole true performance system.
Talking to Sean Ramjack Singh, live producer for NHL 13.
Yeah, and I have to say that I really find the fact that so much attention to detail has been put in this game. You know, if there's a fast skater in the NHL, he's going to be fast in this game compared to slow skaters. But also, the goalies seem to be extremely individualized themselves. As far as we understand, they're all based on their real-world counterparts.
Well, yeah, so the goalies were a huge focus for us. They're part of our EA Sports Hockey IQ and innovating in the goalies. So the key here for us this year is, in past versions, a goalie would make a desperation save, and if the puck hit his arm, to hit his arm so he'd make the save. This year, you know, when the goalie dives across, he has full mobility of each one of his limbs, so he can move it. So it's basically like adding an infinite amount of animations, because the goalie can save everything. And with the new AI that we've added to the goalies, goalies will now anticipate. So goalies that anticipate more will start to anticipate more, start to cheat a little bit more. The goalie is no longer just aware of the puck and the puck carrier, but also aware of, like, secondary scoring threats. A two-on-one, for example, he'll know that there's another guy coming down the wing, so you might see him start to cheat over. You can read that now and pick short side high. The great thing about the system, because he has control of each one of his limbs, is he might be leaning, but he can still come back and make the save. He has full control of every single one of the limbs all the time. You know, our philosophy when we started with goalies, you know, for guys who play competitively online, they try and find the go-to goal, things like that. So we wanted to make a perfect goalie, a goalie that could save anything or anywhere. And to do that, we had to make every limb be able to move for itself. So once we had that, then starting to loosen up the goalies and make them play more realistic to how they would play in real life was an easy part for us. So really, really excited about our goalies and the way that they're behaving this year, and how dynamic they are, how more realistic they are.
Definitely. And I know one of the other big changes is for off-the-puck play, a lot of the AI has been advanced. Talk about the specifics of what you guys changed there.
Yeah, we made such a big leap with our skating system that we knew we had it. We had to, you know, invest in our AI this year as well, just to make the whole gameplay experience really take the leap that we wanted to take this year. So EA Sports Hockey IQ, we spent more time this year on our AI than we have in the past 3 years combined. That's the dedication we had to make our AI better this year. You know, we've all seen the Philadelphia-Tampa Bay game where they sat in the 1-3-1. We have all the new strategies in the game this year, five times as many strategies we had last year, representing what's happening in NHL today, what's happening in the European League today. So really just making the whole gameplay experience more authentic from a strategy perspective, from a player awareness perspective, players not only being aware where the puck and the puck carrier is and anticipating, but also where the secondary threats are, so they know who they should be guarding in different situations, and then the goalies like we just talked about. So, you know, the True Performance Skating, Esports Hockey IQ together are the big gameplay innovation for us. It's going to take, you know, NHL 13 to a whole nother level.
Listen to Got Game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, talking to Sean Ramjack Singh about NHL 13.
And I was just wondering, just for clarification, last year, NHL 12, the big focus was sort of making all the players seem to move a little bit more realistic and act a little bit more realistic from the net. And that is also include, like, you guys have improved that as well with your hockey IQ?
Absolutely. So the AI focuses on all areas of the ice. And then with the skating that we put in there, of, you know, 1,000-plus animations, making sure players move intelligently and look good when they're moving there and move realistically as well. So, you know, the amount of creativity we opened up has just made the game look more and more realistic, made the AI look more realistic in everything that they do, moving on the ice, moving with intent. And, you know, we still have 5 weeks left from what you're seeing here today. So we got some more things in store with our skating stuff, just a little subtly, just to, again, just take it over the top.
Now, one of the things that I'm looking forward to that you guys announced, we got a release from you guys a couple weeks ago, is the NHL Moments Live. And basically, walk us through what that is. It's similar to some of the challenge modes I've heard, but it's a little different.
It is a little bit different. So here at E3, we're focusing on the gameplay, but I can tell you that the NHL Moments Live is something we're super excited about. It's about connecting fans to the sport of hockey and making them feel like, you know, they're living the NHL day in and day out. So we got lots more great details to come in the weeks ahead.
Can I just ask you, the one moment I want to see there is the Ovechkin on his back goal against Phoenix. Any chance that's going to be in there?
We'll see what happens.
All right. I just wanted to ask you about the GM mode that you're talking about, where a bunch of people can have league together, and you can have literally hundreds of guys playing in one league.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll go into lots more details in the week to come, but, you know, in a nutshell, you can play the mode as a single player with 29 of your buddies and each controlling an NHL franchise. And the innovation here for us is bringing all your friends together, up to 24 people playing on your team with you. And the mode's accessible for everybody. So if you're just a guy who likes to manage your own part but not great on the sticks, you can have your buddies play the games for you in the OTP element of it, playing it from anywhere in the world for your team. Trade your buddy if you want to trade your buddy. And then we have a mobile app extension as well. So really just staying connected to the league at all times. And then the other thing we said, if, you know, if you're the guy who goes to a hockey game and yells shoot all the time, we put in coach controls as well. So you can sit there, you know, watch the AI play. We spent invested so much in our AI this year. Watch the AI play. And when you want to make the AI shoot for you, you press the shoot button. So really just trying to make it open for everybody.
You've obviously watched me play hockey before. I just yell shoot all the time.
We put that button in just for you.
Talking to Sean Ramjack Singh about NHL 13 on God Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Sean, just one more question for you. It revolves around the NHL cover vote. Can you explain to me how a goalie from Nashville got that many votes? Because we've been talking about on our show for several weeks. Unbeknownst to us, how a goalie from Nashville got that many votes. And Calhoun's been pulling for him the whole time. He wants him to be on the cover.
Yeah, yeah. I hope this is something he did for me also.
You know what? The cover vote, you know, the great thing about the day and age that we live in is social media. And it's all social media driven, and you got players, you know, throwing their following behind different players, and the players banding together, and the teams banding together to support different players. And the reaction we got on social media and the fan reaction has been unbelievable. So it's social media driving it. That's the power of the world we live in.
Like I have to tell our listeners, but the game is NHL 13. It comes out September 11th. Sean, can't wait. Looks great.
So there he is, Sean Ramjack Singh, line producer for NHL 13, talking about all the glory that is in the new game. It looks spectacular. Brian, you and I tried it out for about 15 minutes, and we were quite impressed. Now, again, we didn't get to play. It's not a review. We didn't get, you know, a week of time with it.
I think
it,
we got two periods with it.
But it was pretty sweet, though. Pretty sweet.
Yeah, I'm at least am really excited to see the final version of this game.
We got a lot of stuff to come up in this show. Next segment, we're going to talk a little bit more about our thoughts on E3. Again, you can go to the Got Game blog at sportsnet590.ca to find all our coverage. Coming up later on the show, some guy... who used to be part of this show is going to be back as a in a sort of a quasi-reunion state to talk about what he's up to now. If you listen to the show a lot, you know who it is. If not, stick around. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. That's all to come on Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
We've got game. Do you in the game?
This is Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Brian Calhoun, Christine Chubb, Momin Qureshi around the table. Good to be back home in the city of Toronto that we love and adore so much. Week full of E3-ness. Going to get to more of our E3 thoughts in just a few moments. So I wanted to let you know, being a sports station, the demo for NCAA Football 13 is now available on the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3. So if you're jonesing for some NCAA football and you want to try it out and see how the new game is, give it a go. The game comes out on July the 10th.
Last year was a quality game. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it. They had some really interesting modes. They had a one-button mode where all you had to do was hit the A button. And we actually did get a caller last year around the time I reviewed that game who was saying, well, all these new football games are too complicated. So, hey, if you want an interesting and yet easy entry into that sort of football or video game football world, NCAA football is a great game to get started with.
That's why demos are there, to see if you can try it, to see if you like it or not. Sticking with sports, last segment we had Sean Ramjang Singh from EA on to talk about NHL 13. One more tidbit about that. If you're going to pre-order, you will get some stuff, and it depends on where you order it from, which will depend on what you get. If you get it from GameStop, players will receive a 1 gold hut pack, that is Hockey Ultimate Team, per week for 16 weeks. Best Buy and Future Shop buyers will get a in-game Reebok 20K package that includes a in-game glove, stick, skates, and boost to enhance your Be a Pro player. And Amazon players will receive an in-game Bauer glove, stick, skates to boost and enhance your Be a Pro player. So that's what you get. So if you pre-order, which I know a lot of our people will be, that's what you'll be getting if you pre-order it.
Also, if you order from EA's Origin website, you'll receive a goalie boost to enhance your Be a Pro or your EASHL goalie.
There you go. So if you pre-order it, that's what you are getting.
And they also have that Stanley Cup Collector's Edition, but we talked about that a couple weeks ago.
And if you want to find that show, you can go to the Got Game blog at sportsnet590.ca. We have all our podcasts and our show up there. Christine.
Yes.
Very good friend of yours, who you did not see at this E3.
My best friend.
But you did see at last E3 and had a very interesting encounter with, by the name of Peter Molyneux.
Yeah.
is back in the news.
He is indeed.
That story never gets old.
No, it really doesn't.
Now, he is the guy that was behind the Fable franchise.
He is. He was the master behind it.
Yes, he was. Now, there are new Fable games coming out. He is not responsible for those.
Quasi.
He's not with the studio anymore, basically.
No, he left. He was a part of... he left the studio a few months ago?
Yeah, a few months ago. But he did work hard on the Fable Journey game, which will be the next one that comes out. He was doing all this high-end sort of producer work. I imagine by the time he left, all that high-end producer work would have probably been done, and they were at the point of actually making the game. So,
and what did he tell you last year? It's not on rails.
It's not on rails.
Made you sign that wall?
Yep, tell me that. Promised that I would tell everybody that the game was not on rails.
The reason we're talking about Peter Molyneux is because his new stuff is, he's part of a new studio now, and he spoke with a web call called NewScientist.com about the first of his 22 experimental titles from his new 22 Can studio. I guess that's why it's called 22 Cans, because they're coming with 22 games.
I guess so.
That's just me doing simple detective work, and assuming one would lead to the other.
You are Batman.
Why give that out over the air?
Anyhow.
Do you know how many people will be hurt because of this? The first game will explore psychology in social media and video games. And it'll be called Curiosity. And it's kind of an interesting concept.
I really like this.
Yeah, it's neat. Basically, the players will be presented in a small room that contains a single black cube. And every person who plays the game will chip pieces away from this single cube until it breaks apart. And once it happens, someone can see what's inside. And it's what's interesting about it is only one person who hits that final blow of the and makes the cube shatter will be able to see what's inside. And Molyneux is hoping that that person will then go on social media, Facebook, Twitter, have you, and say, hey, I know what's inside. Here's what's inside.
But there's an even deeper twist, because everybody wants to be that person on the internet going, I know a secret no one else knows.
And you can be that person for the low, low cost of how much, Brian Calhoun?
I can't even pronounce the number. It's so high.
For the price, if you really want to be that one person that shatters this block and gets to see what's inside, you can be the first person to the block and make it happen. If you have a spare change of $79,765, that will get you the ability to shatter the block in one blow.
This is the greatest thing ever.
I love that he adamantly says that this is not a money-making exercise. No, it's a test about the psychology of monetization.
It's easy to be jaded, but I don't know. This seems like it may actually be legit.
I think, if this game, as you said, is all about psychology and social media, it is an interesting psychological experiment to see if somebody will fork over that $79,765.
To me, this doesn't even seem like a game. It seems like him making a social experiment and doing a science project, and we're all the little guinea pigs to it.
If this is one of
22, and like... He's just crazy. Like, I love him, but he's crazy.
He is crazy.
And it makes you wonder, like, obviously his hope is that the first one will succeed and that social media will get out there and that will create the buzz. Because if only one person is able to, that means out of the whole project, only 22 people will be able to know the answers to all of this. Out of, assumingly, I think he thinks millions of people are going to be playing this.
And then you wonder, too, whether the person who finds out is going to withhold it, not tell anybody. Like, I'm going to sell the answer.
Well,
who wants
it? Who wants the answer? I'll sell it to you for the low, low price of
$76,000. Oh, bargain.
I think it's just crazy. I mean, what if it fails? Then you've got 21 more projects that don't work.
Yeah.
You
know? I don't
good
know if that's
for him
actually
for being
the way to look
a little crazy.
I mean, if it's a social experiment, I don't think the way to look at it is like a failed state of this does not succeed if someone does not find out what's inside. It's to see if someone's willing to spend $79,000 to be that person who knows that secret and be the only person who knows that secret.
I'm blanking right now, but what's the name of that site that's in gaming circles that people use to raise money to build their games?
Kickstarter?
Yes, Kickstarter. Somebody should start up a Kickstarter fund to see if they can raise the $79,000 to see what's inside this box.
I have to credit you, Moment. That's actually not a bad idea.
Kickstarter. Let's start a GOT game Kickstarter fund.
We can't. We're not American.
That's true. Well, Kickstarter.ca.
There's no Kickstarter.ca.
I feel like it's the Simpsons episode. You can have this washer and dryer, or what's in this box? The box!
It makes me think of like all those movies you see where these really rich people are like, I'm going to see what the poor people will do for money. Yeah. Like, that's all it makes me think of. I'm like, I love Peter Molyneux, but this is a little bit wacky.
It's eccentric. It's very eccentric.
At the same time, I want that person, I want somebody to do this and spend that money and find out what's in the cube. And they can hold on to the cube. I just want to ask him one question. Why in the world did you spend $79,000 on an in-game add-on to be able to see this? Like, what drove you? I want to know the answer to this experiment. This is really interesting to me.
So essentially, what we found out from this article is it's working.
Yeah.
Because we're all chatting about it. We're all curious. And, you know, there all obviously is the possibility that some Fortune 500 company is going to step up and pony up the dole to find it out.
Sure, there's people that in the world that love video games that could easily spend $79,000 and it really wouldn't be much to them.
Sure, it would be. Why not? We know so many people who do that. So, I mean, there are lots of rich people out there who have the money who could do it. Interesting to see what happens. We will keep you posted as that game comes out and whether we're the ones chipping away at the block. I can tell you that the GOT Game crew combined does not have $79,000. No. I don't think we have $7.90.
Although, wouldn't it be funny if the person who actually paid that money and opened the box, what was inside it was like a gift certificate for $80,000.
That would be actually pretty funny.
That's pretty funny.
I'll be honest. I mean, I'm jaded myself. Everyone knows this. I'd like this to succeed, but I think somewhere along the line, somebody with a lot of computer skills is going to
hack into it,
ruin the fun for everybody.
Yeah, I hope not. I hope not. I think this sounds like fun, so I hope not.
I hope not, but I'm expecting that.
You are listening to GOT Game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Let's go back to E3.
Let's not. There's low sleep, drinking.
Whoa. For some of us.
For Moment, definitely.
Moment was just out of
this guy
back.
Had all the water and lemonade. I don't know how much lemonade I drank.
You drank so much lemonade.
I drank a lot of lemonade.
Speaking of water, lots of dehydration. You really got to be like knocking back the bottles of water all the time.
You do.
To keep going for that thing. Or else you'll not survive.
If you go to sportsnet590.ca and check the GOT Game blog, you'll find all our E3 stuff, including podcasts. We did one every night that we were there, the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah, someone was asking us about that.
Yeah, we got a listener email that said, hey guys, I was wondering if you're going to E3 this year. Haven't heard anything if you'll be there, podcasting daily as you were last year. Anyways, I enjoy the show. I'm a regular podcast downloader. Keep up the great work. If you have any news about my favorite series, God of War, keep me informed. Well, we have answers to both those things. One, yes, we were there. We podcast every night the 4 days, plus a final show that aired on this past Sunday, so you can check that out if you want to see it. It's all there on GOT Game at sportsnet590.ca, or you can check iTunes or follow the GOT Game Twitter at GOT Game 590. God of War Ascension unveiled at the Sony presser. It's a pretty cool game coming out, which is, I mean, if you played God of War 1, 2, 3, you know the series kind of pretty much wrapped up, so this game takes place before. Looks wicked cool. Looks like a God of War game that we've seen time and time again. There's a scene that they showed at the Sony presser where Kratos rips the head off of an elephant and everybody's like, whoa!
Not just like a bipedal elephant with like an extremely chiseled upper body.
Trying to smash him to bits.
It was a very impressive character design.
Yeah, it was. It was very cool. So that's that. that game looked pretty good, but yeah. So if you check the Got Game blog, there is lots, and keep an eye on it as time goes on, because we got so many interviews. I think we had like 20 or 22 interviews we did about different things. So we're going to slowly post them. Obviously, it takes time for us to upload them, write stuff around it, and we'll hold stuff closer to when certain games get released or whatever. So keep an eye on the Got Game blog. There's lots of stuff up there.
Yeah, so far we have something on a game called Banfuse, which I think Christine, you knew about before going in, but I was a little caught off guard by it.
I did. Banfuse Rock Legend. It's kind of along the lines of other music games. It plays with a real instrument, much like Rocksmith
and Rock Band.
I got to speak with one of the executive directors, and that is up on the Got Game blog if you want to check out my interview.
Yep. There's already some other stuff up there as well. We did some videos. Calhoun, I know you
NASCAR posted the game is up there. I figure by the time this show actually goes up, I'll have the Need for Speed Most Wanted interview,
which I know we had a listener ask about as well.
Yep.
So that's up there if you want Need for Speed Most Wanted stuff. Lots of good E3 stuff up there, and we will keep it coming as the weeks go along. We already played Sean Ramjang Singh talking about NHL 13 in segment one. Brian, we're back, which means we're back at work. And you had a game to review this week. You have about 3 minutes to talk about it.
Okay,
give us the goods.
Well, luckily I don't need to go into too much detail about the actual games, because what it is, it's the Metal Gear Solid HD Collection for the PlayStation Vita. This one I found really interesting because the whole transferring stuff is in the game.
Oh, cool.
And the Xbox and the PlayStation 3 versions are already out there.
Right.
However, you can't do transferring with the Xbox version because you need cross compatibility between a PlayStation Vita and an Xbox 360 that does not exist. So, so if you have a PlayStation 3 and a Vita, then you can do transferring with that.
Cool.
Basically, like I said, I don't really need to go into the games because they're very well done. But the ports of the games, for the most part, are like the original games. I found that there was a little bit of lag in going between cutscenes, some loading time on the PlayStation Vita.
Right.
But other than that, you know, it was a very nicely done ports, and
good.
The PlayStation Vita makes the games look good. So if you haven't played this game before and you want to pick up and play on the Vita, yeah, sure, go right ahead. I don't think that's what they're planning on doing, because if you know the PlayStation, or if you know the Metal Gear Solid games very well, you know they are kind of set up in a kind of consistent sort of way as far as the PlayStation 2 games were done. You'd have sort of this opening chapter, which was slightly different from the rest of the game. The hero would actually go and do something, then everyone would have to regroup, and then the real mission began. And in the way the game is broken up in the PlayStation Vita model, or the PlayStation Vita copy, you can actually just go and play like that pre-mission, or you can only actually do the real mission of the game. So I think this was built for people who had already played, you know, Metal Gear Solid and wanted to go check out Metal Gear Solid 2 and 3.
Cool. That is Metal Gear Solid for your Vita. What's
definitely,
it called?
Definitely Metal Gear Solid HD Collection for your Vita.
Collection.
Definitely worth getting. I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10.
There you go. If you're a big fan of Metal Gear Solid, that's one to get for you. Coming up in our next segment, probably one of the most fun moments we had at E3, and it happened at the very end. A familiar face will be back next on Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. We've got game. Do you? Gameplay.
You're back listening to Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Brian Calhoun, Christine Chubb around the table. I am Momin Qureshi, doing our week back from E3. We did much stuff down there. You can find it all at Sportsnet590.ca on the Got Game blog, or follow us on Twitter at GotGame590. 4 days we spent doing E3 stuff, and the show wrapped up on the Thursday at 5 p.m. Thursday at 4:50 p.m., I think we had one of our most favorite moments of the show. I'm not going to give away too much. Suffice to say that a voice that you are all very familiar with, who left us a short time ago, is still very much alive. And we found him on the show floor, and he joined us. Now, usually on the show, we'll cut things down and edit interviews so that we chop off the beginning and the end. We kind of tighten it up. But with that, this time around, from start to finish, we're going to let you hear the whole interview raw. So here it is, the reunion bit on Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Your title, so we have it for later.
Brian Calhoun, co-host of Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
You know that means you'll never get on air now.
I'm Brian Calhoun. I like NASCAR.
That's what you're working on, right?
And
NASCAR.
And video games. I really like Mass Effect 2. Mass Effect 3, not so much.
That was actually the entire review. I feel like we should be playing like some sappy music or something, or singing some
post-production, man. That's what that's all about.
Well, that's Calhoun's territory. Yeah. We of course are talking to one Zachary Poindexter Cooper, reunited, and it feels so good at E3. I don't even feel like talking about what you were working. I feel like just talking.
Let's talk about lunch and awesome stuff that happens in LA when you don't sleep.
Yeah. Oh, that's the case for all of us here.
I know.
No, but why we are here is because you are, we can tell people now, well, you tell people, you reveal to our listeners, have been asking us nonstop what you do. What do you do?
I'm the community developer for the recently announced Splinter Cell Blacklist. So basically, for those who don't know what the title entails, it's kind of like the liaison between the gamers, like the community, and the developers, so the people who make the games. And on top of that, I do all the social media stuff, so at Splinter Cell on Twitter, the Splinter Cell Facebook page, that's all me, and I've got a little help from another community developer in Montreal, especially during E3 when it's been absolutely crazy. But it's talking to the gamers, people who know the franchise, who love the franchise and who have tons of questions. It's on me to make sure they know that we're listening, and we try to make the best game possible for them.
Now, of course, our listeners are very, very, very familiar with you, and they were kind of bummed out when you left, so give us a bit of the rundown. Like, how's the job? How do you like it? What's it like being on the other side of the table?
I'm not going to lie. I mean, it's amazing. I absolutely love it. I mean, there were so many factors that went into the decision. I've been doing, you know, radio for basically 11 years, and I love that, and I do miss it. I mean, it was a dream job. But when this opportunity came up, it's another dream job to work, you know, in video games. You know, covering video games was great, and I wouldn't have been able to do this if I hadn't done that. But it's, you know, I'm working with a fantastic team. I always call it an all-star team at Ubisoft Toronto. You know, we're up to, I guess, about 220 employees. We're going to be up to 800 by 2020. And it's just crazy, you know, learning about the backgrounds of these people involved in this game. It's like I'm constantly in awe, and getting to know them has been remarkable. Getting to see the process of how Splinter Cell Blacklist is growing and where it will be when it's all said and done, it is mind-blowing. And as a Splinter Cell fan, it's that much sweeter of a deal, because I don't know how the stars aligned to make this happen, but I'm so fortunate that they did.
Well, we're on the outside still, and you're just talking about all these great things that have blown your mind.
I'm on the inside, Brian.
I would love to. Please invite me. I will certainly come and join you for a while until they fire me, and my life is ruined. But I know there's things you can't talk about. There's got to be something you can give us to sort of share the magic that you clearly have seen since you've left us.
Are you looking for a scoop? Is that what that is?
No, I know you're under NDA. I'm just like, you talked about all these great people you worked with, you know, how they surprised you. There's got to be something you can tell us about that.
Well, I mean, there's a lot that I can tell you. You know, it's funny because there's this whole marketing aspect that I wasn't really that well versed on before I got the job. I mean, you understand when a game goes from announced to release, there are so many steps in between of the communications and what you announce at what point and why they say certain things at certain points. And for us, you know, we were going to hold off Spies versus Mercs, probably the most fan-requested multiplayer mode to return. I mean, the requested mode overall to return by the fans. We were going to hold that off until August, basically. And I get off the plane on the Sunday before E3 starts, so the day before our announce, and I get an email, and it says, by the way, we're announcing Spies versus Mercs. And now, I mean, this was like, this isn't just like a tiny little one-liner, like this is huge, and the community really resonates with this, because it not only shows that we're listening to what they're asking, but it's also a fantastic mode that's going to make the game amazing. That's just one of the reasons why it's going to be amazing when it comes out. And I know it comes across as extremely biased, but keep in mind I've only been on the team for 3 months, and before that I was always a Splinter Cell fan, so, I mean, there is some, you have to take my word for it, but it's all coming from the heart.
Plus, we always knew you were kind of biased, even when you were on this side of the microphone, so we understand.
What are you talking about? What was I biased towards?
Everything.
I'm biased towards everything.
You're listening to Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
I want to say it.
Oh, wait, hang on. Okay, let's go like old time so people know. Okay, go.
You're listening to what's it? You're listening to God Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. That's Moman Qureshi. Brian Calhoun's over there. There's Christine Chubb. And I'm Zach Cooper, community developer from Ubisoft Toronto, talking about Splinter Cell Blacklist. Next question.
Now, I don't care if Calhoun didn't say it. I would figure 4 years of hosting a show with you would get us at least something that nobody else has heard.
High fives.
No one else gets high fives.
All right, let's see what high fives on the radio.
Oh, it started off so strong.
Oh, no. Oh, what's happening here?
I do want to ask you a serious question, though. As community developer, you get to pump up the game, do all this fun stuff. But with it, good comes the bad. And I know when the trailer came out, there was like 95% amazing fan reaction. But there's a lot of negativity. There's some negativity for some fans who weren't that thrilled. How do you deal with that kind of stuff? What kind of stuff are you hearing?
Well, I mean, that's what I signed up for, really. It's massaging the message. And the one thing, at E3, our announce was, Splinter Cell Blacklist. The franchise Splinter Cell is known for so many things. Chief among them has been stealth. And the one thing that I understand, and I hope a lot of our gamers understand as well, is that when we announced, we were showing them something that is completely different from what they know or sort of relate the franchise to be. We're coming across as an action-adventure game. And I can understand that might tick some people off because they want the true stealth back. And the one thing that I'm doing is articulating the fact that we do have so many stealth elements in this game that we're just not communicating at this point, because when it comes to announce and when it comes to, broadening that audience, you need to make sure that you're appealing to as many people as possible. And stealth is still considered to be kind of like a niche genre. Not everyone can get into it. It's frustrating for a lot of gamers. It's extremely rewarding for those who are into it, those like myself. And so the one thing that we're kind of just alluding to but not really showing off yet is how much stealth is involved. And all I can really say at this point without getting into too much trouble is that fans will be rewarded for playing stealthy. They'll be rewarded for playing, all in action, going out guns a-blazing, if they're successful at that. But if you are, the hardcore Splinter Cell fan and you want to remain undetected, you can do the non-lethal stuff. And if you do it well, you will be rewarded. And, we can't talk about how you'll be rewarded yet, but just know that stuff's coming. And, this is by far the biggest, most ambitious Splinter Cell ever made.
Darn, that was the scoop I was hoping to get, but
Bowman got it.
Let's go in this direction.
Bowman got it. I'm so biased.
Exactly, towards everything.
Yeah.
It really is unfair of you. But you've managed to actually make the jump to the job that a lot of people really wanted, and that was actually report on video games.
Did you apply for my job? Is that what you're saying?
And then you made a jump into a job that a lot of people wanted, which is they want to work in the video game industry.
Yeah.
We've already told a story about the radio show. Let's talk about that. I don't know if you want to get into how you got the job, but maybe more specifically, maybe some tips for people who may want to get into the industry. Do what you do.
Well, I think Victor Lucas probably summed it up the best. And if you've seen the TED Talk that he did, basically his whole philosophy is be nice, be genuine. The contacts that you make are so very important. And not just for the sake of having contacts, but knowing people in the industry. I mean, anyone who's gotten into radio, chances are they know someone in the industry that helped them get through, or they're just a really good person with a personality that resonates beyond just a talking human being. I don't know exactly how I got this job, but I sort of attribute it to trying to do things the right way and being conscious of how I treat people. Maybe you aside, Calhoun?
I was about to say, you gave some very specific instructions, a very specific piece of advice, and yet every time I'm around you seem to go, not follow your advice, go the opposite direction.
There's chemistry with different people, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Don't apologize. He deserves whatever he gets.
I never said I'm sorry. I miss you, Calhoun. I miss you.
All right.
I do.
This is quite honestly the most fun interview we've done in 4.5 years.
All right, let's get back to the game for a second. When you were when we were watching the demo, they were showing off something that I wasn't expecting, which is Kinect integration.
Oh yeah.
And can you tell us a little bit more about what part Kinect plays, and I guess why it was put in there?
Yeah, so I mean, the reason obviously to put it in is that you want to take advantage of all the technologies that are out there, and Kinect is it, it I don't know. I mean, there are so many uses of it. I don't know how many one might consider practical. I don't know how much you guys use your Kinect. I think anyone listening to the show knows probably how much I used it. And in truth, when I heard that there was going to be Kinect integration with Splinter Cell Blacklist, I was kind of like, oh, sweet. It's like a throw-in. But you saw the demo. I mean, you see where you can use your own voice to distract people, to call in support from your team at fourth echelon. I mean, it's cool. And that's only like a small sliver of how it's going to be integrated. There's going to be other stuff that we can communicate down the line, but just be, you know, becoming a part of Sam Fisher and more immersed in the environment, the universe that is Splinter Cell, I think it's awesome. And I'm looking forward to being able to talk about some of the other stuff. I'm looking forward to finding out about some of the other stuff too. I don't know everything.
Well, I don't know, Zach. Like, we've been joking around a lot, but honestly, the three of us and all of our listeners are thrilled you're doing well at Splinter Cell, at Ubisoft, and making Splinter Cell, and it's cool that we finally know what game is coming out of Toronto, and it's such a AAA title, and we're really happy for you, and it's good to have you back on the God Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be back. I mean, I've wanted to do this for so long, and I've seen you guys at some events here and there, but it's cool to be able to represent the game that I'm now a part of, and we're all really excited at Ubisoft Toronto for Splinter Cell Blacklist. It's going to be spring 2013 on Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and PC. And honestly, it's going to kick a lot of ass.
Can we sing some Reunited to go out?
Can we what?
Sing some Reunited to go out.
Reunited and it feels so good.
Yeah,
that's fine. That's okay. That's why I sit in the host chair now.
That was beautiful, though. I liked it. I liked it. I thought you were going to get into monorail.
I would love to do that, too.
So there it is. After a few months away, Zach Cooper back on God Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm Zach Cooper. I'm right here. I like basketball and making David Chappelle quotes. I am Rick James.
I see. Zach Cooper would be rolling over in his grave if he was dead, but he's not. He's alive. He's working at Ubisoft Toronto. Very excited for Splinter Cell Blacklist, the first game to come out of that studio. It's excellent. We hope you enjoyed that interview because we definitely had a lot of fun doing it, even though I think 9 of the 13 minutes are nothing to do with the game.
Yeah, I think that's true.
That's it. We're back in full effect. We'll be back next week for Brian Calhoun, Christine Chubb, and Momin Qureshi. This has been Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.